What we can't have, the commodity makes us want it.
Hey everyone, it's DJ Jazzy J. Welcome back to another episode of Tasty Time, where we pair your food with your mood here on Penguin Radio. This is DJ Jazzy J. I'm here every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. And each week I bring you tasty and easy recipes, restaurant critiques, and much more. So Tasty Time and the recipes that I share can have the average cook, can help the average cook do some great things in the kitchen. So welcome back, everyone. Today is the last show. I know, tear. I'm sorry to be leaving you guys. But we do have 1 hour left with each other, so stay tuned for the next hour. And we are going to have a party over here for the last show. So today's last show, it actually revolves around Mother's Day. And I know Mother's Day is not for another, like, couple weeks. I think it's, like, 2 weeks. It's on May 10th. However, I just wanted to dedicate this show today to all the mothers out there because they do so much. And I love my mother, and so I wanted to dedicate this show to all the mothers out there. So what better thing to talk about on our show, since it's food, than Mother's Day brunch? And that's kind of like an essential part of any Mother's Day, I feel like. Growing up, my family and I used to always take my mom out for brunch. Either that or just like a later lunch in the day or whatever. Sometimes we would cook breakfast in the morning and then we would go out for lunch later. But today I'm going to share with you some like recipes and also places you can take your mom for brunch or your wife or, you know. So, but before we get to that, today's question of the day, this is the last question of the day for my shows for this semester. It is, this fruit will not ripen on the tree. They must be picked from the tree to initiate ripening, because the leaves supply a substance that prevents ripening. The best way to store them is to leave them on the tree. They will store for about seven months or more when left on the tree. What is the name of this fruit? And it has fruit in quotation marks, if that helps any of you guys listening with this question. So if you stay for the entire hour, at the top of the next hour, I will tell you the answer to that question of the day. Also, a random helpful tip of the day, and I started this from the beginning, is once you open the brown sugar, so if you go to the store, you buy a packet of brown sugar, usually people, they wait for, you know, they wait until they need it, and then they open it. And then they crinkle the, like, bag back into the container it was in, the little, like, cardboard container, and then they close the top, like any normal box, like a cereal box or anything like that. However, if you open that plastic bag, toss a few marshmallows in there, because what that's going to do is it's going to kind of, like, absorb the moisture and everything. So it actually will keep the brown sugar soft so that you don't have clumps in your brown sugar when you open it up again. So I think that's a really helpful tip because, I mean, it's just things that you wouldn't think of doing that are kind of just like really little helpful tips for you. So today's first recipe, it's a family recipe, and it's actually my recipe. I called it Jay's Deviled Eggs. So the ingredients are eggs, lemon, Worcestershire sauce, mayo, mustard, fresh basil, salt, pepper, and paprika. So the way you make this, obviously, you start by hard boiling the eggs, and then you let them cool. When they're cooled, you run them under cold water and crack them and peel them. And once all of that's done, so you have to wait for all of that to be done first. So once that's done, you have the peeled egg and you cut it in half long ways. Think like hot dog style. If you think about, like, that's a common term, like hamburger or hot dog style. So if you cut it lengthwise or horizontally across the like larger surface of the egg, so cut it that way. Because then you're going to dump the yolk inside of a bowl. So you're going to take the whites and put them on the side. So the two halves that you have now cut, you have removed the yolk and put them in a bowl. And then you've saved the whites on like another plate or something. So once you dumped the yolks into the bowl, you're going to set the whites aside. And then in the bowl with the yolks, you're going to add all the other ingredients. So you're going to add the mayo, the mustard, salt, pepper, Worcestershire sauce, and half of a lemon's juice. And Some people are like, oh, why Worcestershire sauce? It actually, if you salt this recipe less, the Worcestershire sauce will help you salt the recipe in like a different way. It's like just a different like taste without it being so incredibly salty. So I would use less salt and a little bit more Worcestershire sauce because it doesn't have all of those other ingredients inside of it. So all of those things are in a bowl already, and then you mix it together. And you're kind of making essentially like a yolk egg salad with this, so just without the whites in it. So once you've mixed all of that and it's combined completely, the best way to serve these is to put the yolk in the whole mixture, put it all in a plastic baggie. And then when you put it in a plastic bag, you're going to move it all to one side of the plastic baggie and then cut a tiny hole in one of the corners of the baggie. And what you're going to do is you're going to get your egg whites that you've cut in half and have like a little like half moon dome shape in the bottom of it. And you're going to pipe the yolk mixture into that circle until it's filled. And then you do that to all the eggs, all the halves. And usually you have enough yolk, as long as you don't go overboard with all the yolk and filling the eggs. Usually you have enough. So you fill all of those. And then when you're done with that, you want to top it with some paprika just for like garnish. Because like I've mentioned before on the show, like paprika is not exactly, it doesn't really taste like much, I feel like, to me. It is more for like presentation, and also you use paprika when you brown things in the oven. So just a little bit of paprika, and then also you can either rip some basil, like you can just rip it, or you can cut it into little small pieces and then sprinkle it on top of the deviled eggs. And if you want to set the whole recipe, when you put all of the eggs on the plate with the paprika and the basil on it, so everything's on the plate, you can also squeeze the other half of that lemon on top of the eggs, and it will taste so good. I love this recipe. I use it all the time. It's actually really great for springtime. It's great for, I mean, eggs, Easter bunny, Easter, that kind of thing. It's great for spring. Also, it's great for summer foods as well. It's just like a little refreshing like snack. And I mean, if you don't eat too many of them, they're fine. So the next recipe is actually a Pinterest recipe. It's for a crustless quiche. So the ingredients include 4 eggs, a half a cup of milk, a half a cup of low-fat cream, three-fourths of a cup of flavorful cheese. You can use older cheddar, but something about Swiss would also be really good. There's also 1 cup of your favorite frozen veggies. I mean, you can use broccoli, onions, mushrooms, any of that stuff. I mean, spinach is also good. And then nonstick cooking spray for like the side. And then 1 tablespoon of flour. And then other possibilities, you could pre-cook bacon, ham, diced tomato, fresh herbs. Pretty much anything could go in this quiche. It's just all in like your favorite flavor palette and what you would want. Like, think of the things that you would want to put in an omelet, and then you can also put them in this quiche. Like, I think it's a very versatile, it's just like an egg, like a cooked egg in like a pan is great. So the way you cook this is you preheat the oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit, and you're going to spray a 10-inch glass or ceramic pie plate liberally with nonstick spray. And I mean liberally, because otherwise it's going to stick. And it's going to require some elbow grease to try and like clean that thing. So toss the cheese and the flour in the plate with the fork, and then working it around to coat the plate and the cheese. And then you're going to toss the frozen vegetables in and mix them with the cheese just enough to distribute everything evenly. And then don't worry, it'll be fine if things are like cramming into the quiche. That's fine, because the milk and the eggs go in next. So then you want to mix the eggs, the milk, and the cream together in a measuring cup, and then whisk with the fork until thoroughly mixed, so everything is mixed and nice and perfectly together. And then you're going to slowly pour the mixture over the whole quiche and make sure it has a chance to let the eggs sneak into all the nooks and crannies. You can kind of like shake it around the little pan if you want a little bit. And yes, food can have nooks and crannies, duh. So then the next step is to carefully transfer the quiche to the oven and cook for 30 to 40 minutes Frozen vegetables will vary in the cook time slightly, just depending on what they are and how frozen they really are. And check with the knife after 25 minutes. The quiche is done when the knife comes out cleanly, so it's like any other thing you bake in the oven for the most part, like breads or brownies or anything. If the knife or the toothpick comes out clean, then it's fine. And then it needs to rest for about 10 to 15 minutes after it comes out of the oven to cool and to set, because otherwise the eggs, I feel like, will still be kind of runny, and you don't want that. You want runny eggs. You want cooked eggs. So then you're going to run your knife carefully around the edge, and then you're going to slice it, and you can plate it that way. So either you can, like, just run your knife around the edge of the entire pan and then plate it in one big thing and let your guests or whoever you're serving cut it themselves, or you can cut it into slices and then serve it and enjoy that way. Also, I think this recipe would be really good with some fresh, like, parsley or basil on top of it as well, or even mint. I love fresh herbs. I think they're a great way to add color to a dish, especially if you don't use, if you don't use spinach, which I would suggest in this recipe, because I think spinach and eggs is, like, the perfect complementary thing, you know. But if you don't want spinach, because growing up I hated spinach and I wouldn't use it in anything, but now I like it. But if you don't want spinach, you can always use, like I said, ham, all that kind of stuff. So I think this is a great recipe. I definitely am going to cook it more often during the summer, like for just a really easy breakfast, because it really doesn't take that long. It takes about maybe 5 to 10 minutes prep time, and then 10 to 15 to cook and let it set. You have like 30 to 40 minutes in the oven, but other than that, it's not that hard to make. So the next recipe is what I called Mother's Day Chili Relleno Casserole. And this is actually a listener-submitted recipe, but it's also my mother's recipe, because I asked her for a great recipe for this Mother's Day episode. So the ingredients include 6 eggs, 4 cups of milk, 2 cups of Jack cheese that needs to be grated, 2 cups of cheddar grated, 1 small can of diced Ortega green chilies, a fourth of a teaspoon of garlic powder, a fourth of a teaspoon of oregano flakes, and 1 loaf of sliced sourdough bread. So the way you cook this is, first you're going to trim the crust from the bread. So you take all that crust off the bread, and then butter each slice and place them face down in a 13x9 Pyrex baking dish. Also, if you don't have the size baking dish, I don't think it doesn't matter too much, as long as you don't, like, try and adjust the temperatures at which you cook these things or anything like that. I think it should be okay. Just don't make them too small of a pan, or like too giant of a pan, because then the heat in the oven is not going to be distributed evenly. So 13x9, give or take, Pyrex baking dish. Cover the bread with the beaten eggs, milk, and spice mixture. So you put all that stuff in the bowl and you mix it together. Then you're going to place both kinds of grated cheese on top, and then put the green chilies on top as well. Then you're going to cover it with foil and let it stand at least for 4 hours or overnight. And overnight is probably better, because then all the flavors get in there and it's like really delicious and great. And then the next day, when you're choosing to make this dish, you're going to bake it at 375 Fahrenheit for 50 minutes, or until the eggs are set. Like I said before with the previous recipe, wait until your eggs are cooked, because no one likes runny eggs. So then you're going to let it cool and slice and then eat it. And it's great with fresh fruit salads or any kind of like just like outside item with this dish. But it's good with the fruit salad as well. So we're actually going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back for more Tasty Time. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So the song I'm going to play for you today for this break is one of my favorite current songs at the moment. It's by Kelly Clarkson. She has a new album. It's called Piece by Piece, and the actual song title is Piece by Piece as well. So enjoy.
And all I remember is your back. Walking towards the airport, leaving us all
right, everyone. We're back with more Tasty Time, pairing your food with your mood here on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Thanks so much for joining me again. So before I left for break, we talked about, so this episode is completely dedicated to the mothers out there, and we're talking about Mother's Day brunch ideas and recipes and just some people in the business who talk about brunch also. So I went over, just a quick recap, I went over, the first recipe was my recipe for deviled eggs. The second recipe was Pinterest recipe for crustless quiche. The next one was my mother's recipe for chili relleno casserole. So in this segment, these are Mother's Day brunch ideas that I came up with. So I'm from originally Long Beach, California, and I am living currently in the Bay Area in San Rafael for college. And I kind of did a little like verses on places to go for Mother's Day brunch. So it's the Bay Area versus Long Beach. So San Rafael versus Long Beach, or San Francisco versus Long Beach. So the first one is in San Francisco, and it's Mother's Day Champagne Brunch Cruise on the San Francisco Bell. So it's a cruise. It's a Mother's Day cruise. It leaves from San Francisco Pier 3 on the Embarcadero at Washington Street at 12 p.m. And boarding time is 11 a.m. and the price is $78 per person. And it's a two-hour yacht cruise. It's they include a bountiful brunch buffet, free-flowing champagne, bottomless mimosas, orange juice soda, iced tea, coffee, tea and water, wine and beer, and cocktails available to purchase on board. And there's entertainment. There's a keepsake hornblower, boarding photo, scenic San Francisco Bay. So they have like a backdrop of the bay and everything like that, and there are opportunity for photos. So it sounds extremely fun, and it's something that I don't think a lot of people maybe get the chance to do. Or if you're surprising a significant other or your own mother or your wife, this would be a nice little like Mother's Day brunch like date, I guess, for two. It is kind of pricey, but it's a cruise and it's in San Francisco. So, but I assume that all of the food is really delicious. I mean, for the price at which the ticket is, I would hope that it would be good. So that's something from San Francisco. And another, like, there are probably tons of things within San Francisco to do on Mother's Day. So even if you just lived within the general Bay Area or Marin County of any sort, going to San Francisco for Mother's Day would be kind of fun. Although I feel like a lot of people would be there. But if you're into that, why the heck not? So I also found that like a lot of the museums in San Francisco or the like tourist attractions do a Mother's Day brunch of their own. So places like the aquarium, the like just along Pier 39 and all of those places, like all of those restaurants and other tourist attractions. And I think like in the Bay Area, like I just think that, I mean, and pretty much anywhere you can find a Mother's Day brunch. You just Google Mother's Day brunches and then type in your area, whatever that area is. And they're not that difficult to find. The most difficult part about it would be the pricing. But other than that, I do think that going to like the aquarium for brunch is something that's so unique and very interesting. And I would definitely like, I think later in life, like when I'm like a little bit older and can afford more of that, I would totally take my mom or, you know, just a family friend who like I see as my mother or something like that to one of these places. Cause I think for families, going to the aquarium or going to the Exploratorium in San Francisco, or even from where you're from, it would be a really good idea for families, because you get like, so it's kind of like a two in one. You get brunch with your mother and the rest of your family, and then you have the rest of the day to like go into the exhibits and things like that. So I just think, I don't know, like I never thought to think of places like museums or things like that. Just like tourist attractions or places like that would be so good for Mother's Day. And actually, now that I think about it, like, I totally want to do that with my mom. I can't wait to do that because that would be so much fun. So that was it for San Francisco. But now we're going to the Long Beach part of me. So I grew up, I was born and raised in Long Beach, and some key places that I would definitely recommend Mother's Day brunch. The first one would be the Queen Mary's Champagne Sunday brunch. And the Queen Mary already, like I mentioned, like for San Francisco, is a tourist attraction that when people go to Long Beach, they think of the Queen Mary. So the event is Sunday, May 10th, so Mother's Day, obviously, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it's at the Queen Mary. The price is about $60 for an adult and $20 for children 12 and under. And parking, you have to pay for parking, unfortunately, like you do in the city. But parking is like $7 with a validation. And that's up to 6 hours, including valet parking. And just a little like key thing, it's wrapped in the elegant grace of the Grand Salon and featuring live entertainment. The Champagne Sunday brunch has the air of a royal soiree and is anything but typical. Free-flowing champagne, live music, and a tantalizing signature menu that is sure to please even the most discerning palates makes the Queen Mary Champagne Sunday brunch a Long Beach tradition that cannot be missed. So, not only did San Francisco have a cruise where you actually like leave the dock, the Queen Mary is a place where you don't even have to go on the cruise. You stay right there. You're docked. Obviously, the Queen Mary is not moving. It's been there for a while, so no one can worry about being boat sick. And I'm sure like along Long Beach, like beach and the harbor and all them where they dock the boats and things like that, I'm pretty sure that they have some kind of like boat adventure that you could like a little cruise, kind of like San Francisco's as well. I would only imagine that that's what they do as well. But the Queen Mary is a great experience. My uncle used to live at the Queen Mary, used to work at the Queen Mary. That'd be fun if he lived there too. But he used to work at the Queen Mary. He owned the Shake Shop and the Shell Shop. And as a kid, I grew up at the Queen Mary, had a birthday party there. The Queen Mary is a great place for not just like a date or anything like that, but an entire family and that kind of thing. So I would completely 100% recommend the Queen Mary. And the next one that I also grew... Oh, the other thing about these ideas for Mother's Day brunch, they do all require reservations. Obviously, like most high-end things that you would go to anyway, they all require reservations. So the one for the Queen Mary, you can call 562-499-1606 to make a reservation, or you could go to the website and look at that first. I think that's a smart choice as well. So the third thing that would be really cool to go to that I've been to numerous times, like other than the Queen Mary, and this is actually technically in Lakewood, but I mean, I call it Long Beach because it's close enough. But it's in Lakewood, California, and it's the Mother's Day brunch that they have there at the Lakewood Country Club. And like I said, reservations are required. It's only, compared to the other two, it's not that expensive. So it's $27 per person, and children 10 and under are half price that. So it's not even, you know, so it's $27. And then half for children under 10. And seating is from, they have two separate seatings. One is from 11:30 to 12, and the other one is from 2 to 2:30. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of time to sit there and eat, but first of all, it's like an all-you-can-eat buffet. And second of all, you're going to want to try every single thing in that room, so you'll be full before you know it. It is one of the best brunches, Mother's Day brunches, or brunches in general that I've ever been to with my family. We have gone so many years consecutively. I can't even tell you how many on one hand that I've been to, but they have everything from fresh Caesar salad, fresh fruit and berries, sushi. They have omelets to order, French toast, Belgian waffles with homemade maple syrup and whipped cream. Like, hello, yum. They do their own smoked bacon, sausage, and Yukon gold fries. Baskets of baked breads and bagels with assortments of jellies, jams, butters, cream cheese. They have assorted meats, cheeses, roasted peppers, and olives. There's a carving station. They have roasted sirloin or beef with au jus. There's oven-roasted turkey. There's a selection of chicken dishes. There's pasta. They have penne alla vodka, baked tortellini al forno, chef selection of seafoods, dessert. Oh, my God. Can I just tell you about the dessert bar? It is so good. You have no idea. The dessert bar is delicious, and they have tons of different desserts. Well, the whole thing is delicious, but I'm, like, a big sweet tooth person, so anything that I attend with desserts is, like, all over me. So they have that you get, like, one plate of chocolate-dipped strawberries per, like, table and mini pastries. There's an ice cream sundae bar. There's a juice station and freshly brewed coffee and tea. Like I said, you have to make your reservations for that by calling. I have the number with me. It's 732-363-8125, and I believe it's extension 10, if I'm not mistaken. So I love this Lakewood Country Club brunch. It's kind of become part of my, I know at one point in time in this show of Tasty Time, we talked about how much I love traditions. And can I just tell you, this is probably one of my favorites just because of the amount of food, of the quality of food, of the time it takes all those people to like prepare for all of that. And they're really accommodating. Like, we've gotten in with like really short notice of a reservation, but make your reservation because that like ensures that you're there. But both seatings are just as good. It's really pretty because it's the country club, so it's on like a golf course. It's like, I can't talk highly enough about this place. It's so nice, and it's like literally 10 minutes from my house, so I don't have to go very far. My mom always enjoys it. We always eat way more than we probably should, but yeah, it's a great place to be, especially on Mother's Day. And the final place that I wanted to talk about is the Boathouse on the Bay. And this is a place, it used to be called McKenna's, but now it's called Boathouse on the Bay. And my dad's really good friends with the owner. His name's John. And first of all, he's a great and really funny man. And second of all, he just does the restaurant business so much good. And his Boathouse on the Bay, they have their own Mother's Day brunch as well. And their food is amazing. And their brunch, I've been to their brunch before. We've actually, like, from my house, we've bike rode to his restaurant. And that was really fun. So it's right on the water. We've used he has a little Duffy boat, and we've been on that before. It's nice. It's on the water. It's like, it's waterside and beautiful. You get to no matter what time of day, it's really pretty. And there's an indoors and an outdoors of his. He just like redid a lot of the stuff at it because, like I said, it was called McKenna's before, but now it's Boathouse on the Bay. And Boathouse on the Bay is just really catchy. So first of all, and they have a really pretty color scheme. It's all like nautical themed and really pretty. And I just really recommend that place as well because it just has a really nice like higher scale, but still sort of still like somehow family, very family environment. And I enjoy that place. And I think all these places are really good things to do on Mother's Day to take your mom and treat her a little bit. And I mean, I love I love Boathouse on the Bay, and I love the Lakewood Country Club, but I would not mind going to any of these events because I think that there's something about bringing your whole family along and like hanging out with your mom who does so much for a family. as do dads, but you know, it's her day on Mother's Day. So, but yeah, I really think that these couple things to do, so not just the Mother's Day champagne brunch cruise on the San Francisco Bell cruise, the Queen Mary champagne Sunday brunch, and then the Mother's Day brunch at the Lakewood Country Club, and also the Boathouse on the Bay Mother's Day brunch. And like I mentioned before, like any of the museums in San Francisco, I'm sure if you called, you went on their website or you called, or any of like museums or places near you as well. I just think that's a really fun and unique way to spend Mother's Day. You can also, if you can't afford any of those places, or you just don't want to bring your mom to something that like crazy where there are going to be like a bunch of people there, take her on a picnic. That is some of like the best quality time that I've ever spent with my family. I really love picnics. Because I like to cook, I choose to, for the most part, make whatever we're bringing on the picnic. And then my family has gone on hikes and things like that. I just think picnics, or like even smaller like events with your family, or like a little like Mother's Day barbecue, something like that, or just a Mother's Day brunch at your home, like it can't get any simpler than that. And that's like the most quality time. It's like the most valuable quality time that you'll get, like that you get with your family, and you can do it with friends. And that's just, I think any of these events are really good ideas for Mother's Day. I don't really mind what we do as a family, as long as we're doing it together, and as long as my mom really appreciates the day. Because a couple years ago, I like didn't really get the chance to do much for Mother's Day one year, and I felt really bad about it. So hopefully this year, although I won't be home on Mother's Day, when I do get home like 5 or 6 days later, I'm going to make it up to my mom, and hopefully she has a great day. So for all you moms out there, you guys are great. Also, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Mike Birch, because he's doing a lot with my dad this weekend. He's a great man. So is his entire family. I love them. So just real quick shout out to them. Hopefully they also treat their mother well, because I love their mother as well. So they are a great family, and they live in Long Beach as well. So shout out to them real quick. So we're actually going to take another quick break. Just to recap, I did go over some of the Mother's Day brunch ideas. So when we come back, we're going to talk about a show and someone on the Food Network who does stuff with brunch. So I'm going to play for you another song. And this one I came across recently. He's a YouTuber and his name is Todrick Hall. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with him, but he is so talented, and I've met him before, and he does 70 songs of Beyonce in 4 minutes. So here you go. This is Todrick Hall.
Me, myself, and I, that's all I got till the end of time. I'll be your baby. Baby boy, stay on my mind. Love you like crazy. Looking so crazy in love. On top, baby, because you're the one that I love. We be all night. I'll be your naughty girl.
Drop the bass, man, the bass getting low. Radio,
radio, cause it never lets me down. Pretty hurts.
We shine a light on, we shine a light if you want to.
You turn down to
the green light.
Be the best thing I never had. Me at hello.
You got
hello.
Me.
You got
hello.
Me.
You got me.
Speechless.
Hello.
You're a
superpower.
It's having deja vu.
And baby, you're just a
beautiful liar. I may be young and a diva,
but you're no angel either, baby.
So ring the alarm. I've been through this too long, but I'll be damned if you think I'm gonna
blow up.
Take off of me. I just wanna be that girl you like. Tonight I'm gonna go.
sugar mama. The kind of girl you like is right here with me. I just wanna see your mind, your mind.
Even in the shadows, I miss you, and I still ooh,
baby,
care.
Kiss me,
accept me, flaws and all.
Before they turn the lights out,
heaven couldn't wait.
Before time is run out,
I'd rather die young.
Baby, let me light down
in the darkest night.
I'd rather be with you, cause I love the way you scream my name.
I search through the crowd,
sweet dreams, more beautiful
your
night.
Faces are all that I see.
I give you everything.
Baby, love me lights out.
Before our time is run out,
baby, love me lights out.
I love you like EXO.
You love me like EXO.
You kill me, boy, EXO.
You love me like EXO.
You're all that I see. I give you everything. Baby, love me lights out.
Before our time is run out, yeah.
We can last forever. Come on, baby, won't you hold on to me?
Cause there's no one else like my daddy.
I don't know much about algebra, but I know I'm dangerous and in love with you.
All the single ladies,
put your freaking dress on.
All the single ladies,
and let me upgrade you.
All the single ladies,
I wanna be myself tonight.
All the single ladies,
now put your hands up. Let me upgrade your automosphocase. Switch your necktie to purple labels. Upgrade you. I can up, can I up? Let me upgrade you.
Gonna let me upgrade you.
Can you give me about it? I wanna be myself tonight. Can you give me about it? I wanna be myself tonight. Don't you see my body? I wanna let it out tonight. Wanna party? Cause I'm trying to make a
dream from the.
Cause
if you like it, then you should've put a ring on it. If you like it, then you should've put a ring on it. Don't
act
cause you see that he want it.
Cause if you like it, you can watch me on your video.
Dear Ryan Murphy, I know I'm a little late for the MySpace auditions, probably because they were on MySpace, but if you get this letter/YouTube submission, please consider me to be your token black boy. I can sing, act, and I have a consistent triple pirouette most of the time. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the presentation. And Mr. Murphy, I'll be waiting for the phone call.
I wanna be on the hottest new show to ever grace my TV. Want the chance to show my face on season 3. If there's a place for a loser like me, what about when all your dreams come true? If I got the call, don't know what I'd do.
First I give them what they came to say. Everybody trying to copy my music and my swagger to the T. Lea Michele on the caller ID. Cause I'm that new Devo. Around the block, everybody set your TiVo. Cause Tony's on Fox, whoa.
Check 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah. Yes, Mr. Murphy, this is for you.
Yeah.
Check the subscribers, the millions of views. Because the gleeks won't tie. What you gonna do? Take me, break me out of YouTube. I'm a star who's starving. Give me some food. Joking, make me a token so we can leave them haters out there gagging. Joking, time is money, I got none for you. Tell them haters they've been flushed like a number 2. Got Mercedes in my ride, we got things to do. Got a brunch with Santana and a lunch with Sue. Gotta sit down with Artie, he too cool to walk. Puck blowing up my phone, can you save a huck? I click my heels back and forth.
One, two, three. Ryan Murphy swept me off to the land of glee.
Oh, oh, MJ, I wanna be on glee. I wanna be on glee. Oh, 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 MJ, I wanna be on glee. I wanna be on.
Oh.
Alright everyone, we're back. I'm DJ Jazzy J and you're listening to Tasty Time on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Thanks for tuning in to my last show. So before I left for break, we talked about some Mother's Day brunch ideas. If you're just tuning in, welcome. So this segment is usually restaurant or cookbook critiques, food reviews you can use. But for the last 3 weeks, I've been talking about reviews of shows, TV shows on the Food Network or the Food Channel. So this week's, I decided to do that again, just following the theme of brunch. And I decided to do Bobby Flay's Brunch at Bobby's. That's what it's called, Brunch at Bobby's. And it's on Food Network. And this is a great show. And it's one of his like older shows. It's one of his like probably like one of the oldest shows that he does, because he's been in the business for a while. So just some background on Bobby Flay. If you don't really know him, his real name is Robert. His name is Robert William Bobby. That's why they call him Bobby Flay. He was born on December 10th, 1964. And he's an American celebrity chef, a restaurateur, and reality television personality. He is the owner and executive chef of several restaurants. Some of them include Mesa Grill in Las Vegas and the Bahamas, Bar Americana in New York and Eukinsville, and Bobby Flay's Steak in Atlantic City, Gatto in New York, and Bobby's Burger Palace in 18 locations across 11 states. And Bobby Flay has hosted several Food Network television programs, as appeared as a guest, and hosted a number of specials on the Food Network. And he is featured on the Great Chefs television series. And just to name a couple of the shows that he has been a part of, some of them include Throwdown with Bobby Flay. That one's a really popular one. Also, Iron Chef America. He is an Iron Chef. He is one of the hosts of the Next Food Network Star. He also did, like I said, Brunch at Bobby's. He did Bobby Flay's Barbecue Addiction. He is part of Worst Cooks in America. Grill It with Bobby Flay. Boy Meets Grill. That one, I actually think Boy Meets Grill is probably one of his oldest shows. Brunch with Bobby's has been since 2010, but Grill It with Bobby Flay has been since 2008, and Boy Meets Grill has been since 2002. So I think Boy Meets Grill is like the oldest show, and that was probably one of his first ones. And there's so many more. There's Barbecue with Bobby Flay, and How to Boil Water. all those shows he is a part of. Some way or another, either he is the host, he's the one cooking, or he is a judge, or he's working with another team, or he's a competitor. He's been on a couple shows where he's actually had to compete. Not only Iron Chef America, but also they've done like Chop Champions and things like that. I think he might have been on one of those. So Bobby Flay, needless to say, he's been... Oh, that rhymed. Bobby Flay, needless to say. He has been in a variety of things within the Food Network for years. At least since 2002, what I just said. But in his show, Brunch at Bobby's, he kind of invites viewers to sip a Bloody Mary or a mimosa and join him on his little journey through that episode each time he has an episode on TV. And I think that's really, it's kind of, there's something relaxing about that. Obviously, I don't drink, can't drink, don't condone underage drinking as well. However, if you are of age, he invites viewers to sip the Bloody Mary or mimosa or a drink of your choice on a nice afternoon watching Brunch at Bobby's. And he does recipes anywhere from savory to sweet. And all of his recipes, I've tried some of them, and they are just, they're pretty easy too, which is something, although I've highlighted on my show, I feel like maybe a lot of like higher end cooks, chefs in the business don't, at this point in time, since they're so high up, they don't really make things that are that easy anymore. However, a good chef and a good cook starts out with making things easy in the kitchen. So I think all of the chefs on Food Network started somewhere, and they started with easy, really simple recipes with good ingredients. And I believe that's what he showcases in Brunch at Bobby's. Like, he uses really fresh ingredients. Also, his like Grill It with Bobby Flay. Like, Brunch at Bobby's is in a nice, like, not really open kitchen, but there's like a kitchen, like a studio set with like a bunch of windows, and it's really nice. It lets in light and everything like that. And it just gives you like a more calm environment kind of thing while he's cooking. And I think brunch time is like an interesting time of day. He says that like brunch is his like favorite meal, and his like specialty and his passion is to cook for brunch, like that meal, which is so funny because like I'm not sure about this, but I think like us as Americans kind of coined the term brunch and made it like a combination of breakfast and lunch. And for someone to have a passion and be so genuinely like excited about brunch is kind of funny, because it's technically not really one of the three meals of a day. But I think it's definitely unique, and I think that's where this show on Food Network comes from. It's a very unique place, and it, like I mentioned, it's kind of one of his, it one of, because he's got literally so many shows, but it's one of his younger shows. Like, it, excuse me, it's one of the oldest shows done it like when he was younger. That's what I meant. So he's also just a really well-respected guy in the business since he's been doing it for so long. He has such a wide variety of a background. I just really enjoy the show Brunch at Bobby's, just because I think, like I mentioned, it's relaxing, and he does anything from like waffles to like chicken and waffles, which is savory and sweet. And he also does like omelets, but then sometimes he'll do like crostinis, or, you know, just like brunch. If you just think of typical brunch foods, and like some of the things that I mentioned earlier about the places that do brunch, like in San Francisco or in Long Beach or wherever you're from, if you just think about brunch foods, it's kind of what he does, but he does it with like a more sophisticated spin, but he doesn't make it hard. Like, the recipe is not hard to duplicate, no matter what it is. And like I said, that's kind of why I feel sometimes people are nervous or scared to cook something, because they think it's so difficult. But like I mentioned, if you just have the right ingredients, and not too many of the right ingredients even, if you just have the right ingredients and you use them in the recipe, because some people like to follow the recipe and some people don't. Regardless, you just want fresh ingredients that are going to be really flavorful in the dish that you're making, whether it's eggs or it's chicken and waffles or it's sandwiches for lunch, or I mean like brunch, or it's like a dinner for brunch kind of thing. Because really, since, I mean, it's a term that is used for breakfast and lunch foods in general, you could pretty much do anything for breakfast and lunch. I mean, some people do breakfast for dinner. So I think it's what he likes about it is it gives him the ability to like really play with the different foods and kind of like take what originally would be thought as a dinner thing. So like a steak would be, I would think, would be like a dinner food. But he would make the steak and then cut it into thin pieces and make it with something else that had like an element of breakfast or lunch in it. So I just think it gives him the ability to play around with that. Also, a couple of his other shows that I would like to talk about are, like I mentioned, the Grill It with Bobby Flay and then Boy Meets Grill. Both of those, he does them outside, and you get like a kind of, because when chefs do things indoors in their shows, I feel like sometimes it's like a crammed environment. It's not exactly their home, so it doesn't look real. I mean, they do their best to make it look real, but when it's out in the open, it's nice. They're in a completely different environment, and I feel like they're more real in that kind of environment. Because I mean, a dude standing by the grill, grilling some meat or grilling some kebabs or doing whatever he's doing on the grill, or like vegetables or something, like that's kind of like our ideal picture of like what America and like barbecues are. So when he grills or he barbecues outside, it's kind of like, okay, I can like sit with him and chat kind of thing. And he's just really personable. I think the other show that I'm obsessed with that I've mentioned before on this show is Throwdown with Bobby Flay. And I think I've talked about it before, but he goes and he challenges someone who is really good at what there's like one thing usually that they're really good at, and that's what sells the most at whatever restaurant or whatever they're doing to sell their food. And he goes there and he challenges them to that exact same food item. So, for instance, since this is a brunch show, why don't we just say that it's waffles or something even more complicated like Eggs Benedict or something. My dad like loves Eggs Benedict. And my mom has made that for him a couple times, and it's really good. So let's just say a simple thing like Eggs Benedict. So he, like, some person is really good at that, and he'll come and he'll challenge them to make that exact same thing, but he'll say like, oh, like, and then they have judges and it's like, which one is better kind of thing. So I really like Throwdown with Bobby Flay. That's probably one of my favorite shows with him in it. I also really like the Next Food Network Star. He's kind of like a judge and host at the same time with Next Food Network Star. And that one, you know, obviously it says it in the title, it produces like the next star of Food Network. And I just really like that. I think that's cool. And I followed a lot of like Food Network stars, quote unquote, like the people who have come from that show, the Next Food Network Star. And it's really cool to see, like, because they go through all of their backgrounds and everything on the show. And you get to learn about the people and how they cook and what their style is and what they want to do on Food Network. And then you get to see that come into reality. So like Melissa D'Arabian is like big, I guess, now, and she's on so many different shows. She has her own show. She came from that show. And I think that's really cool. And that's something that I really like about the Food Network, is that they do that and they provide those opportunities for people who want to be part of the business. So I have the question of the day again. So if you've made it to almost the top of this hour, thank you so much for listening. The question of the day was, this fruit, quote unquote, will not ripen on the tree. They must be picked from the tree to initiate ripening because the leaves supply a substance that prevents ripening. The best way to store them is to leave them on the tree, and they will store for 7 months, or when they're left, or they'll ripen more when they're left on the tree. So what is the name of this quote unquote fruit? The answer is, if you're playing along, the answer is an avocado. And I love avocados. I have an avocado tree at home. They are technically a fruit because they have a seed in it. They have a giant pit in the middle. So that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening to all 10 shows, or even if this is your first show, thank you so much for listening. I had a great time this semester talking to all you guys about food and recipes and just sharing some of my kind of hobby and my passion in life, just talking about food and my Italian background and all those kinds of things. And I'm so happy I got to share them with all of you, and hopefully I gave you guys some really cool recipes that you can now use on your own. Remember that these episodes are always on the website, so if you ever need to find them again, I think they're active for an entire year, like, so from now till next year they're active. And so don't forget, this is Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. That is the link that you need to get to those podcasts, to re-listen to all my shows, because I know you all love them so much. So that's it for today. I hope you were able to learn something. Thank you for listening to Tasty Time. and all of the other shows this semester. One last time, I'm DJ Jazzy J, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Bye, guys.
Make the money, don't let the money make you. Change the game, don't let the game change you. I'll forever remain faithful. All my people stay true. Forget about the bank, fortune in the mansion. Sitting and tripping, watching myself on a plasma. Yeah, I start.